Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are continuing our series on challenges to knowing and hearing from God. We're going to talk about the challenge of being devoted to God alone and to looking to Him alone for getting our needs met, specifically for our need for encouragement, reward, recognition, and motivation. One way to determine who and what has the authority in our lives is to identify our source of encouragement and motivation. When you need encouragement, motivation, where do you turn? Just as we recognize God Himself as the sole authority in our lives, we also are learning to recognize Him as our sole motivator and encourager. This is where we arrive at when we talk about God being a jealous God. He does not want us trying to encourage ourselves or motivate ourselves. All that does is strengthen our soul. If it's something you can do as a non-Christian, then it's not spirit. It's not from God. God's role when you need help. One of the things we are often confused about is the whole concept of prayer. We think that we have to ask God for help. And if we don't ask Him in the right way, He won't give it. Rather than acknowledging that every circumstance in our life is crafted for our good. It may not seem like it. It may not feel like it. But where do we go to find the truth about our situation? We go to God. We let Him reveal to us what is really going on. And when we recognize that the situation is bigger than what we, out of our soul, can deal with, that's when we really understand the distinction between our spirit and soul. There's this notion that God will never give us more than we can handle. And that's not true. He'll do it all the time. And He does it on purpose. Where we get that from is there's the verse that says, God will never put us into temptation that we can't handle. But even that is limited. Because one of God's main points for leaving us here on this earth is to show us that our soul will never meet our needs. You can't do this on your own. And one area of our lives we often neglect is the whole idea of being discouraged, being frustrated, being unfocused, unmotivated. When we turn that around and say, okay, God, I need encouragement. I need motivation. I need direction. I need focus. He doesn't say, well, go out and get another book. You need to attend a class. You need to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's not him. A lot of times, he will take us in an unexpected direction. We think we're going to him for encouragement when really he wants to change our direction or bring us healing or reveal himself in a totally unconnected way. So we're back to that whatever the situation is, it always causes us to turn back to him. Lord, what's going on here? Now, one great illustration of this is the story of the fleece, where this young unknown who ends up leading the army of Israel God tells him, you're going to lead my army. And this is how you're going to do it. So he has already heard from God. But he tests God. And he says, I'm going to leave this fleece out. And the fleece is going to be dry, but all the ground around it will be wet. If this is you telling me to do this, this is what is going to happen. And it's what happens. And then he says, one more time, I want the fleece to be wet and all the ground to be dry. And it happens. And he was encouraged. Now, what I love about that story is not the asking, not the miracle. Okay, now that was not circumstance. Very often we say, okay, if God wants me to do something, X, Y, or Z will happen. You know, my brother-in-law will call at 6 o'clock, okay? Those are not miracles. Those are coincidences. That doesn't mean it's not to not read into it, but this was a miracle. This was not something that would happen on its own under any circumstance. But what I really like about that story is that God knew he needed encouragement. That's all it was. It wasn't direction. It wasn't new word. It wasn't a new revelation. It was simply encouragement. So he knows where we're coming from. God knows what you need, what I need at any given time. Our problem is we don't always go to him to meet that need. We try to motivate ourselves, encourage ourselves, pick ourselves up by the scruff of the neck. Or we turn to those around us, whether it's in person or through a book. You know, this is what prayer chains are all about. We have this idea that if we get enough people involved, God will hear us. Oh, my goodness. Think about that. Prayer chain of 1,000 people. Okay, so if there were only 999, God wouldn't hear. That's what it takes to get his ear. I don't think so. I think he not only hears, but knows and understands everything that's going on in your heart, in your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul, and your body. He knows. And your spirit and he are already cooking up every circumstance in your life. You know, again, your spirit, who you truly are, that reborn spirit is conspiring against your soul in the sense of relieving your soul of its formerly necessary duties. Before you were reborn, you had no access to eternal life. You only had the life that was available in your soul and in your body to meet your needs. And God knows that. God knows that you formed bad habits. You created your own little world. You relied on your own strengths and ran from your weaknesses. But that's not where you are anymore. You're reborn as a spirit being. You still have the same soul, and you still have the same body. And that's where the struggle is. Because the soul is going to continue to try to meet the needs that it did before you were reborn. Very often in our churches and in our denominations and in our teachings, we encourage that. We encourage a continued self-reliance. Now, we understand that over time, the discipline that our spirit puts on our soul develops a maturity and a judgment and a growth. But that is different than seeking our soul to meet our needs. That is bringing our soul into alignment with our spirit so that the eternal life that is in our spirit flows into our soul, into your mind, into your will, into your emotions. So yes, it is a process, but we recognize that these other needs we have, encouragement, reward, recognition, and motivation, are God-given needs. He made you to need those things. And when we deny him the right to fill those needs himself, we are blocking him from a part of us. We are saying, I'll take care of this. You take care of the big stuff. Or we run from it. We decide that since we're not feeling encouraged or motivated, maybe we made the wrong choice. Maybe we're going in the wrong direction. And we sit by the side of the road, waiting for our motivation to come back. So, again, we turn to God for encouragement. This is his jealousy. And when we realize that God wants to be the one we turn to, we recognize that he will be both protective and strict with those who are wholeheartedly seeking to depend on him for that eternal life. So think about it. When you are discouraged or hurt, how do you handle it? Do you turn to your pastor or friend or family member? Or do you play a good worship CD or search for your favorite scripture or book? Perhaps remind yourself of what God is doing through you in other ways. Try to encourage yourself. Or do you simply present yourself before God and ask for help? Lord, what's going on? Is there something I need to know? Is there something you want to say? God knows you need encouragement. Look to Him for it. He may use people to provide encouragement, but when you recognize that it's from Him, the impact of that encouragement, that motivation, will be life-giving. Not just a shot in the arm, not just a push in the right direction, but an influx of that eternal life. And this is something we all have to learn, how to go to God Himself to get our needs met, to get our encouragement and our motivation. Because knowing Him, knowing God, is primarily a solitary endeavor rather than a team effort. No one can walk your walk for you. And you have not walked this way before. It's all new. Now, we recognize that there's this accusation that's prevalent in some religious circles that people ministering outside an authority structure of either like a denomination or a church or without congregational leadership are acting independent of the church or as lone rangers. But this is really just an attempt at manipulation, trying to exert that authority and control. We can see that expressed in two main ways. First is control on leadership's part. And second is immaturity on the individual's part. Let's look at those for a minute. Control on leadership's part. Think about this for a minute. If every believer heard from the Lord for themselves, truly heard from the Lord for themselves, which is a goal most church leaders would say they are working toward, there would be no need for continual expansion of the local congregation. No need for building programs. No need for outreach fundraising or pledge drives or bake sales. Because when every believer hears from God accurately and gets their needs met directly by God, God is in charge. And when there's something that needs to get done, He gets it done because He's the one who decides what needs to be done. We have this idea that the leader of the church hears from God for the church. The problem is you are the church. He is your head. That's it. The only spiritual authority you have in your life is God. And the more you recognize that, the more you're available to God, that when something needs to get done, it simply gets done. Doesn't need to go through a committee. Doesn't need to go through a church. If He tasks you with a task, you do it. How simple is that? So then, what would happen to a church? the local church would merely be the structure where people would be taught to learn to hear for themselves. Then, committed into the hands of the Lord, which I think if we got things that clear, it would likely take no longer than 6 months. So any structure would simply be someone coming in, learning, getting healed, learning how to hear from God, learning how to test it, becoming confident, and going about doing what God has him to do. The goal would not be on getting a bigger church or reaching out from the church. It would be the church leaving the building and being and doing what God has for each one of us to be and do. So I think that's part of why there's this emphasis on leadership, that the leadership hears from God and delivers that to the body. And that's not at all what God intended. He didn't leave anybody in charge, but the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, "Tarry until I come." He didn't say, "Tarry until I raise up a leader." And we won't get distracted in talking about, you know, the false interpretation of offices and leadership that we are so caught up in now. But recognize that very often leadership is misinterpreted. And those of us who are not part of the leadership support that misinterpretation. We let them go to God for us. Rather than, no, you, it's your responsibility, it's your job to go and hear from God for yourself. That's it. Now, you're going to make mistakes. And those are going to be your best learning opportunities. So the more we can do that on our own, the more we can learn to make the most of our mistakes, the more confidence we're going to have in our ability to hear him. So second is the immaturity on an individual's part. If we believe our religious leaders are responsible for our maturity, our education and growth, we are then rejecting God's sovereignty. And we actually abdicate our responsibility to know God for ourselves, to experience eternal life within us. Now, one of the great lessons I learned very young was to search for God's point of view until I got it. One of the things, whether I learned it or God just put it in my heart or put it part of my temperament, I figured that if God was God, he was able to reveal himself to me and make himself real to me regardless of how dense I was or unable to hear him. I wanted to know that I was hearing him clearly and have that confidence. And it wasn't coming from what I was learning at the church. So I challenged him. I challenged God to make himself so real to me that I would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'd heard his voice. That I could hear him and know him. Not because of something I was doing, but because he was that big, that he was able to reveal himself. Now, one of the opportunities that our pastors presented in our church would bring into our fellowship speakers that had a mixed word containing both law and grace, so that we could learn to distinguish between the two for ourselves. Now, personally, this served many purposes, one of which to help each of us to overcome that fear of error. For truly, what is not from God will not sprout in our lives and will merely pass through as we keep our focus on the Lord. In other words, you don't need to be afraid of being deceived. In a sense, we are all deceived right now because we all believe lies. None of us has all the truth, and none of us have had all our lives corrected. So far on this earth, there's only been one who had all truth and who was not deceived. So the rest of us, and you may be thinking, well, no, everything I know is correct. But you won't know that until God says, no, this is what you're believing about this, and that's not true. So you won't know it's not true. I mean, you're not going to be going around saying, oh, I'm believing a lie, and I'm enjoying it. We don't know what we don't know. But we know that if everything we believed in our lives was that eternal truth, our life would be bearing that fruit. Greater things than anything Jesus did, we'd be doing. And hey, maybe you're doing that. Let me know. I'd love to talk to you about it. But so far, he's been that only example of having all truth within him. Now, he wants us there. So we want our beliefs, our history, and our wounds addressed. But that's part of the process, and part of that process is being willing to make mistakes. So when we accept that some of the things that we thought were true are probably not true, and even why are you wanting to learn something? Why are you listening to this podcast or wanting to talk more with God? It's because there's an area in your life that you don't have answers for or that speak to your life. Those are areas that, by lack of information, not having enough information and drawing conclusions, making decisions, that is a level of deception. Now, it's not, it's not intentional. We're not going around going, oh, I love going out on my own. We all think we have the answers. And God knows that. And he lets us believe that until it's time to challenge what you believe. And we want our response to be, okay, Lord, teach me. And because we have spent time with him and we've heard his voice, we know what his voice sounds like. We know the voice of that shepherd of love and compassion and encouragement. We can say, yes, Lord, I don't understand this, and I don't particularly want to give up this particular belief, but I want your life more than I want to be right. So we'll pick it up here until next week. You can always drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or visit the website, therainersclub.org. Until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.